in a world where entertainment is randomly scattered across Wikipedia, and no one can be sure of anything.
Citation needed!
Two men stand alone. They are Ben Graw, I'm Earth's Last Hope, and Garth Remington.
Does it come with a pickle or is that extra?
And word on the street is, they're gonna clean up Wikipedia.
Yo, I heard word on the street is they gonna clean up Wikipedia.
And while they're fighting a tide of information, their fans are fighting tides of hot girls hitting on them.
You listen to Wiki Review? That's hot.
But sometimes you have to go off page to get the job done.
I got the internet breathing down my neck as your rogue hot shot rating system!
This isn't a podcast. This is the Wiki Review.
We're the underdogs in this fight. I want to get laid without getting punched. How do I pull this off? And that made me want it more. Hello and welcome to Wiki Review. I'm Ben Graw.
I'm Garth Remington.
And on this episode, we're going to have a look at something a bit creepy and spooky as we get down with a sickness, because this time we're doing the Wikipedia page for Zombie.
Brains. Brains.
All right, my sound effect aside, let's go back to your thing, because that's
my Disturbed reference.
Yes. Yeah. Is that the one song that everyone knows from Disturbed?
I think it is.
I've had other albums by them, but that's the only one. They invented the sound.
Yeah, that's a classic sound. One of the best sounds in metal.
It is. Like, I don't know if anyone else did it before them, but that's their sound. It's the perfect intro to anything. Like, when shit's about to get real and suddenly you hear, wah! You go, oh, this is exciting.
That probably is their only famous song, because I've seen them live twice, and that's still the only song that I remember of theirs.
You've seen them twice?
I have. I have a friend who's a big fan, and
he took
me along a couple of times, and I like seeing live concerts.
I went to a movie screening or something years ago, and before the movie started, these, like, two marketing girls came out to the front of the cinema, and they're like, hi, Disturbed's coming to town. If you want to win free tickets, just answer this question. What's Disturbed's latest album?
Oh my god, I don't know.
Yeah, no one in the cinema, this packed cinema, no one knew. And it's like, well, that was your marketing plan. They're like, okay, well, can anyone name any of their albums? And I'm like, oh, I know Down With The Sickness.
But then was the album called Down With The Sickness though?
That one was.
I think they also did one called Asylum.
And there's one called Prey.
Yes, there was.
But what happened was, I sort of went, oh, I could answer this. And the girl I was dating at the time, she was a metal chick. And I had to do the calculation of, is it metal or is it just kind of like hard rock, like, because, you know, like, metal chicks can be a bit discerning with that. If I'm like, well, clearly she's gonna like this, she'd be like, why would I like that pussy shit, god. And that's my chances ruined. So I remained quiet while I heard one guy go, do they have a self-titled album?
That's a good guess though. That's a really good guess.
And the two poor girls who must have thought they were genius marketing people, all right, we'll go in there, we'll get them all excited, and they'll be fighting over these tickets, who's gonna know. They sort of looked at each other like, I guess they have a self-titled album. And it was like, do you want the tickets? I guess. I mean, you're going to bring them to me? I'm not coming down to get them. Like, no one cared. It was a cinema full of people of that age and type who, the marketing people should know that if you're going to release it at a movie theater, you do it at the movie that would be likely to be fans of the band.
I remember when I was at one of the Disturbed concerts, I can't remember which one, but there was a guy there who was with a girl who was a metal girl who was obviously too hot for him. He kind of looked nerdy. He had some of the metal things, but he looked like a nerd. And so we're sitting in the seats and they're in the seats behind us, and she wants to stand up and dance along to the songs.
Yeah.
So she's saying to him, come on, stand up and dance with me. And so he starts dancing and the guy behind him taps him and goes, oi, I can't see, sit the fuck down. So he sits down, and then there's this girl trying to convince him to stand up while this guy's like, I'll punch you if you stand up. And you saw the standoff this guy was in of like, I want to get laid without getting punched. How do I pull this off?
Like, dude, look, I know you can't see, but you see I'm hitting out of my league here. Be a bud.
This is way out of my league. You can see this again. I got one shot at this.
I don't know how this happened. You bought a ticket to get in here. I don't know why she's with me. Everyone can see that I'm out of my depth here. I'm punching above my weight. Can you just throw me a freaking bone so I can throw her a freaking bone?
Poor guy, I hope he got laid.
I know, right? If not by her, but like, maybe there was like some girl who saw it and like sympathized and like, I'll give him some. Like, that's a tough act to follow. That's hard.
It would be hard being emasculated in front of a girl. Like, if you're with your girl and someone's like, I want to fight you. Like, in front of me, you can be a pussy and we just won't talk about it anymore.
Exactly.
But in front of your girl, you know she won't mention it, but she will always remember it.
Forevermore, that will be who you are. Like, it doesn't matter. I could go and beat up 300 guys. It'll always be, yeah, well, Garth doesn't like getting in fights. He gets intimidated by guys who are about the same size as him. No, I beat up guys twice my size. Well, remember that one? Yeah, I remember the one guy. Look, I really had to go to the bathroom.
I've had an awkward moment where when we were managing a comedy room, there was some old guy who came to look at the show and he was a bit drunk and possibly 60s. And he became very fascinated with my wife.
I remember this, yes.
And was constantly talking to her and was a good customer of the establishment where we were trying to continue to get work. And that's an awkward moment of just like, I mean, can I punch an old man here? Like, how does this work?
Because I was just going to pick him up and throw him out the fucking door without opening the door. But yeah, and we're sort of like stopped by the owner going, no, 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 I need him because we're not doing too well. We need the money.
I felt like going, dude, what do you want me to do here? Like, I've obviously got to stand up for my wife because you're making her feel uncomfortable.
That was a terrible moment, yeah.
Oh.
And because he was so drunk too, like anyone could have knock this guy out. He's old, he's frail, and he's drunk. You just had to come up and push him and he would have fallen over. And that's probably the worst thing. Like, if it's a big, intimidating guy, you're like, that's my fault for being a pussy. But if it's some old guy that, like, I could break with my pinky but I'm not allowed to, that is infuriating. That's like,
What do you do if a guy in a wheelchair hits on your girl?
I push him down the stairs.
Fuck him, it's done. So you reckon I should have just hit the old guy?
You should have kicked him straight through the head on that couch.
I'll never know if I did the right move then.
Hey, she's still here.
Yeah, yeah.
But do you feel like maybe the quality of relationship has reduced because you didn't beat up a 60-year-old drunk?
Because I politely told him to go away and then told her that I could meet her in the car if she wanted. While I finished packing up. It's an annoying thing because I'm actually packing up trying to get out of there as well.
We're trying to clean up stuff. And it's in between moving stuff to the back room to pack it away and put stuff in the car, we're in between that. We're having to separate him from our women.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
But anyway, we are doing the Wikipedia page for zombie.
Yeah,
let's start the episode proper now.
Okay. So, Ben, what's in your head? Zombie?
I get it. The Cranberries.
That's right.
Yeah, I don't think that was a good song. It's kind of too slow.
What? I have heard techno versions of it. And
that's where it's sped up. In your head.
Yeah. What's in your head? In your head, zombie.
Maybe if you listen to it on fast forward, it's actually a good song.
I remember back in primary school when we still had cassettes. Some kid had a cassette with zombie on it, but the batteries were getting flat.
Zombie. Sound like it was sung by a zombie.
Yeah. Much more realistic.
Zombie covered by zombies. Do you reckon that's been done?
Well, no, there are no zombies.
No, but people dressed as zombies, like...
Or like on the zombie walks that people do and stuff like that, you reckon they've got it?
Well, that's the thing. I'm thinking if you go to YouTube and type zombies doing zombie, whether that will come up.
We know it's going to. If you can think of something, it exists. There's the Cranberries. There's Rob Zombie.
No, it doesn't come up. No one's dressed as zombies and performed zombie.
Wow.
That's still waiting to be done.
There's a hole in the market. Oh my God, if we could play an instrument or sing or like show up to a place on time, we could totally do that.
I wonder how hard that would be to throw together, just get a band and say, yeah, just do a cover of zombie and we'll just put some zombie makeup on you and boom, we're done.
Well, that's it. You just find a band who can already play the song, add makeup, done.
So if you're a cover band who does Cranberry covers, hit us up.
We know some makeup people.
Yeah, we'll film it for you.
Yeah.
And we'll all be internet phenomenons.
Yes, us included.
And then we'll go back and redo the episode that we did on internet phenomenons and add us in there.
Yes! You guys included. What would you call a zombie band?
I guess the zombies.
the brain munchers? I suppose the zombies would be, because they're not going to be that intelligent for making a...
Be very self-explanatory.
Just call it brains. What's the name of your band? Brains. Yeah, that makes sense.
That is very old school zombies though, the whole brains thing.
Yeah, now they just eat anything, don't they?
Yeah, they just sort of grunt and squeal.
And just gnaw and grab things.
Well, what is your favorite zombie thing that you think you've seen?
I was really into Walking Dead for a long time.
Yeah, I was. I sort of fell off after a little while.
Yeah, it's the same with me. But it happened so slowly I didn't even notice. Like, it wasn't like something happened and I went, I'm over it. I watched Walking Dead and Fear of the Walking Dead, which the characters all start crossing over. So it's essentially the same show in two different locations. So it's like, I don't know why there are two different shows, just have the same show twice.
The problem I think is with The Walking Dead is if you came late to that, you love the show because you start binge watching it. But once you catch up to that point where it comes out week to week, you start realizing nothing happens in an individual episode.
True words never spoken, because that's exactly how I got hooked. Binge watched it. And then not only does nothing happen in an episode, but you can't remember what happened last episode because nothing happened. So you're like, I don't know what they're doing right now because I don't have the context from last week. Oh wait, nothing happened.
So it feels like a show that you almost have to wait till it's finished and just binge watch it. That's why I gave up on it, because I'm like, I can't watch this week to week anymore. I gotta wait for a while and then I'll binge watch it. Now I'm up to whenever it's on Netflix, I'll catch up.
Now the thing that always burnt me about that show, and different shows have different ways of dealing with this, but this is the thing that infuriated me. The zombies are coming, or the people are coming. Something is on its way to kill them. So they stop and have a heart to heart talk. And I can't pay attention to them because I'm like, all you have to do is get up and walk away. Look how much time you're wasting. You just said you're in a hurry. Act like it. No, we need to have, like, you know, sort out our emotions before we worry about our physical safety. What the fuck is wrong with people? Meanwhile, I noticed in the cartoon Archer, they always have a situation like that. The exact same situation. Doesn't bother me in Archer though, because
different kind of show though.
Because Archer, everything works out for, and he constantly comments on that, like, no, I'm not bothered. Things just work out for me. Yeah, they do. So that's okay. Whereas in Fear of the Walking Dead, they're like, we gotta go now. Hang on. Before, when you said you didn't like my hat, was that, were you being serious? Because that, like, really made me sad. Like I don't know if I can run. I'm so emotionally drained right now. You know, I'm just trying to help the community or something. You know, like shut up and run.
Walking Dead is one of the few shows that I found I was rooting for certain people to die.
Oh yes. And
like Lorelai in the first season, Rick's wife, one of the happiest I ever saw was seeing her die. And then when her ghost came back to, like, haunt Rick in his, like, mental breakdown, I'm like, no, go away, go away.
Die. Yes, that's right, I remember that.
Stop ruining the show, you're annoying.
Clearly her contract had one more episode in it, and it was in the fine print.
And look, I'm sure the actress is great. It was just a very bad written character that was not likable.
Like, I don't know, I'm bad with names, but the blonde chick that was the most annoying person to be stuck with an apocalypse.
Oh, that Andrea, yeah.
Is that her? Yeah, she just would not die, and all she did was complain and be a bitch and be useless. All you did was bitch, break stuff, and eat things. And she wouldn't die. People, as soon as I like them, they die. If you hate someone, they're sticking around for like 5 more seasons. That's just the rules.
At one point, it was just like, look, if they could just kill off everyone and just leave Daryl and Michonne, this show would be awesome. All it needs is those two. Let's just see that story.
I saw Walking Dead do Inside the Actors Studio, and apparently Daryl, his character is the only character that's not in the comic books. They made a character especially for him because he's the only famous person in the original cast. And they even said live, like, he was only going to be in there for a few episodes, then we're going to kill him off. And you see Daryl go, wait, what? You're the only successful, like, big star we had, so we just had to keep you around. Plus, everyone loves Daryl.
Oh, yeah, there were people who were like, if you kill Daryl, I'm not watching anymore.
I had that with Fear of the Walking Dead, because it centered around this family. The only cool character was the Maori father, who was in Once Were Warriors. He was Uncle Bully. Fucking Bully! And he played a great role. So, of course, he died first episode of season 2. Spoilers, but it sucks. And now all that's left is the most annoying characters. Like, they've condensed it to this nugget of, these are the people that you absolutely hate, so they will never, ever die. We promise you that. But we'll bring in new people who will die that episode that you'll love.
And that's the problem with those shows, is they start off with we could kill anyone. You don't know who's going to die. And then it gets to a point where all that's left is the unkillables. And then it's just like, we'll just kill off characters that we introduced 3 weeks ago.
And we go, no, we know that they're not going to be around. You didn't even give him a second name. His backstory is very one-dimensional. I'm surprised the Ranga guy, the army dude that was in it, I'm surprised he lasted as long as he did, because that's a one-dimensional character. I heard one. Like, I'm like, I can't believe that's a guy.
Yeah, haven't you done everything with him that you want to already?
Yeah, he rocked up, he had sex with a Latino, he beat up some people, now it's time for you to die. That's everything you can do with a Ranga. So that's probably the most experience I've had with zombies lately. Do you count 28 Days Later as a zombie film?
They don't, but yes, it is.
Yeah, we all...
It is.
That's what I was looking for. Because they all went, they're not zombies, but we all know they're zombies.
They're basically zombies. The same rules basically apply as with zombies.
It's just medical zombies rather than magical zombies. Because originally, and we should probably look at the Wikipedia page at least once, it says that zombies started as magic, like voodoo. They would make the dead rise, which this is all dating back to Asian religion where they can be possessed by demons and stuff.
Yeah, I've heard some rumors, and it might just be rumors, that they would give people these potions that would knock them out, and it would give the appearance that they were dead, and then they would bury the people.
Oh, okay.
And the people would then wake up and rise from the grave, but they would be deprived of oxygen in that time, which would cause brain damage, which made them dopey.
Oh, so they physically were like a zombie.
Yeah, there's a lot that has to line up for that to happen for it to be true, but that is definitely a myth that I have heard about where zombies originally came from, because it does come from the Haitian communities. I do know that.
I want that to be true, because I like the idea that all zombies are essentially the same as like a kid with Down syndrome. Because zombies are like, they're coming after you with their arms outstretched, bah, bah, but they just want a hug. Give them a hug. You know what I mean? Like, if that's the case, they probably are kind of like just happy. Can we say retard? I just did.
On this show, we can.
Yes. Okay. But when you suffocate the brain, it does retard the cells. That's the actual word. That's what it means. Yeah. So these guys go full retard, is what you're saying. Come out of the ground. Everyone's like, oh my God, the retards are going to get us. They want to eat our brains because they don't have any, because they're retards. Hey, this is not me. This is the Haitian community saying that. Let me be very clear.
And if you don't like that, you're being culturally insensitive.
Yeah, shame on you.
Because I don't know, like, as the 28 days zombie, that sort of takes the form of a parasite. You don't technically die, because that is the thing. Zombies are undead.
Those ones did eventually die, like they starved. But you don't have to die to become one.
No, if anything, if you become one and die, you won't become one.
But you have to be shot in the head.
No, in 28 days, you could just kill them anyhow.
Oh, could you? Yeah.
Because they just killed the same way as a normal person. You could strangle one of them to death.
Okay, yeah, it's just that, but if a drop of blood gets on you, then in your eye, then you...
Yeah, then you get the infection, like AIDS.
Yeah.
Same rule as AIDS.
The AIDS virus is a zombie virus.
But
all right.
Way more aggressive. Is that right? If someone with AIDS bites you, would you get AIDS? I don't know if that's true. Like, if they puncture the skin, it's not true.
There is no chance that that's possible. You have to have a blood-to-blood transfusion, or...
So if they had cuts in their mouth, it could work, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if...
And like... zombies always have, like, in 28 days, they've always got, like, blood spewing out their mouth.
So that's true. If they can pierce the skin...
The 28 days zombies have to pierce the skin, and their blood that's in their mouth has to get inside you and infect you.
But then it might actually, the AIDS virus might die in their mouth, because it needs to be in a safe, warm place. The second it goes outside in the air, it dies, essentially. But I think we're overthinking zombie AIDS. ZAIDS, as I like to call it. Oh, wouldn't that be scary? Especially because wouldn't you be embarrassed to go to the doctor and be like, I got the zombie AIDS. Did you have sex with a zombie? Yeah, I like a stiff one. What's your favorite zombie film?
I don't know. I was thinking about that when I was asking the question. The Dawn of the Dead, not the original one, the one that came out in the early 2000s.
Is that the one where they're in a shopping center?
Yes.
Yeah, they're on the roof?
Yes.
Yeah, I've seen that
Ving
one.
Ving Rhames is in it.
Who?
Big muscly black guy.
Oh yeah, bald guy.
Not
yeah,
Mr.
Yeah.
T.
He was the Pulp Fiction guy.
I think so. Yes, yes, he was. Yes, Marcellus Wallace. Yes, I'm on board now.
He does not look like a bitch, just so we're aware. That's what he looks like. But yeah, that was a good one.
But also I was thinking in my head of Simpsons Treehouse of Horror.
Oh, yeah.
When Bart stumbles across a book and brings the zombies to life. Because you see zombie Ned Flanders.
There's a few of them, though, because there's one where Homer becomes a zombie. But that was from eating contaminated Krusty Burgers.
Yeah, that would have been a late season one, wouldn't it?
But this one you're talking about, when he opens the Necronomicon. season or
whatever. Yeah, like season 2 or 3. Probably 3.
That's the one with the cowboys. Yeah, you got Billy the Kid, Buffalo Bill, and Kaiser Wilhelm. And they're like, you're not a cowboy. Of course I'm a cowboy. Yippee whippy whippy. Which is my favorite German doing in a cowboy impression ever. Because that's how Germans see cowboys.
And that had the classic brain zombies that just wanted brains.
Yeah, where they went up to Homer and they're going, brains, brains. They check him and they like push him away like, brains, we want brains.
I do like the one where he sees zombie Flanders and he like shoots him. And he's just like, you killed zombie Flanders. He was a zombie?
Yes. Classic Simpson, classic zombies.
Yeah, that has to be one of the great zombie tales ever told. You've also got Zombieland, which had Woody Harrelson.
That was good. I think it was about time we had a nice comedy, which immediately reminds me of another one, Shaun of the Dead.
I probably like Zombieland better than Shaun of the Dead.
I like them for different reasons. Zombieland is very punchy, because it was originally going to be a TV show, wasn't it?
Yeah, and there's a sequel coming out soon.
I did see that, because yeah, they have a Kill of the Week in it, which you're like, that's a weird segment to put in a movie. I love that Bill Murray was in it, and then he said his one regret was Garfield. Oh, beautiful.
Well, he apparently only agreed to do Garfield because it was written by someone called...
Jim Davis.
No, not the actual comic. The movie was written by, I think, someone called David Cohen.
Okay.
Which you might recognize as one of the Cohen brothers. But it's not. It was someone else with the same name. And he thought, like, oh, I'd do a Cohen brothers Garfield movie.
Wow.
And then quickly realized, oh, no, this is just a shitty film by nobody.
Oh, but it was too late to turn back.
Too late to turn back. But he did do the sequel. So good on him. He has these morals that he sticks by.
Because Jim Davis, the Garfield guy, who originally did all the Garfield, or at least the guy who did the voice of Garfield, was going to be in Ghostbusters. And it was something to do with, there's a Bill Murray, Jim Davis, or Garfield guy mix around where it's funny that Bill Murray did the voice of Garfield because the guy who originally did the voice had something to do with Ghostbusters, but I think he lost to Bill Murray or something.
I think what you might be thinking, because I think I know the same thing. You had the Garfield TV show.
Yes, that voice.
And there was the voice actor of that when they did the Ghostbusters cartoon. He voiced the Bill Murray part.
Ah, there we go. That makes way more sense than what I'm saying.
It ties him into he's voiced two parts that were played in a movie by Bill Murray.
Yeah, and so this is Bill Murray doing the other way around.
Yeah.
Because this is Bill Murray doing the voice of the cat that he originally did. So, which is nice. I think it's a nice little, you know, that's why you'd ask Bill Murray and that's why Bill Murray would say yes. But I do love that. What, he didn't think there was more than two Coens? I'd fall for that.
Well, you figure if the person's asking you, Bill Murray, to do this, they're probably a somebody. Not anybody knows how to ask you how to do a movie. Like, I don't know how to ask Bill Murray to do a movie.
How did you get past my agent?
Apparently he doesn't have an agent. This is Bill Murray's thing. There is a number that you call to get Bill Murray. It goes to an answering machine. You leave your pitch on the answering machine. If he is interested, he will contact you back. If he's not, you will never hear from him.
Wow. He has an answering machine in this day and age?
He does.
That's amazing. Plus all the other parts to that story are fascinating as well. But that's the part that gets me.
That would be my dream, to be like an actor who, like, I only do whatever the hell I want.
I don't answer a phone. I only call back people I want. I don't have a bunch of people like, you know, agents and managers. That's great.
Because he doesn't have to do it for the money anymore. He just does whatever he wants.
And Bill Murray is that guy. Like, from stories I've heard about Bill Murray, he is the wild party. He's just a bit off his head. Meatballs, when they made that, which is a crappy movie, but it's a classic that people went, oh, Bill Murray saved it. The same way I feel he saved Caddyshack. Because I was a child when I saw Caddyshack, and if it wasn't for the gopher, that movie would have sucked balls. I don't care about Chevy Chase and his na-na-na-na-na. Wada-wada-wada. I want to see Bill Murray chasing a gopher. So he saved Meatballs as well, but when they wrote it, they wrote the character specifically for him, even though he hadn't agreed to do it. And they were 2 weeks out from starting, not even knowing if he was going to do it.
That's funny.
Because he disappeared to like play golf with his brothers or something. And he's like, no, I'm just going to enjoy my summer. And he showed up pretty much on the day and like, yeah, why not? What are we doing here?
Classic Bill Murray.
Wouldn't you love to be in a situation where people are like, we've got this multi-million dollar movie set up. So if you feel like doing the character, just rock up on the day. What, I don't have to say yes in advance? No, you just, if you feel like, if you change your mind, man.
Well, that's a fascinating thing about Bill Murray is he's so effortlessly funny. Like when you see his delivery of comedy, it just looks like no effort has gone into it whatsoever. Exactly. But it's hysterical for some reason. And I've never seen anyone ever since being able to pull that off.
Because he is a very, I don't want to say deadpan, but yeah, he's a anti-energy guy, which is what makes it funny because of the juxtaposition. Norm Macdonald is like him with Shock, because he's a very deadpan, like, yeah, it's a very slow melodic rhythm, but you do feel he's putting on a show still.
Yeah, he's definitely doing a bit or a character or something.
Like, I feel like Bill Murray, you never really know if he's performing or he's just talking. Like, it's the same thing. Like, if you put a beer in his hand and change the background, it's exactly the same. And my favorite story of Bill Murray is when he was doing sketch comedy and stuff, like live shows, and they'd travel around with Rita Rudner and that. There was some heckler in the audience and it was wrecking the show. And Bill Murray stood up at the front of the stage and went, "Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry that the show's been ruined by some like really unprofessional, like rude person, but that ends now." And he dived off the stage and attacked the guy. Leapt from the stage and just proceeded to beat the crap out of this heckler.
Wow, Bill Murray.
Bill Murray.
Wow.
Isn't that the best story you've ever heard? Like, as a comedian, I respect him so much more when I heard that.
Could not get away with that these days, though.
Oh, no. But also, I think Bill Murray could. Even in, if it was back in the 70s, we couldn't do that. Bill Murray, because it seemed effortless. It wasn't like he was putting on a show. He didn't put out a martial arts stance. He just started wailing on him.
But what other zombie things were there?
I was saying Shaun of the Dead. It's the same people who did Spaced, and it's a clever kind of comedy where they have callbacks that change the situation. He goes, "I need to buy flowers for my mom. I need a card that says 2 mum. Do you want 2 mum or 2 super mum? The first one." Because you don't want to say not super mum. Later on when they're being attacked by zombies and they're like, "Do you want to kill the girl or the guy?" The first one. Because you don't want to say, I don't want to have trouble fighting the big guy. Can I have the easy one, please?
See, I haven't seen Spaced, but I have seen, because that's Edgar Wright who writes that. And he also did Hot Fuzz and The World's End.
Yes.
Where they're all doing the pub crawl thing.
That's the one, yes.
Oh, and he also did Baby Driver, which is outside that series.
I just lost respect for him. I just discovered this guy existed. I'm like, all right, this is the guy I'm gonna have to thank him. Wait, he did Baby Driver? What the fuck's his problem?
Edgar Wright, because he's a good director, and because, well, you know our buddy Zach. Yeah, he's also a bit of a director, and he really likes Edgar Wright, because then he's showing me like few clips of just like, see, look how he does with his style, and he's really good. And he has some great tricks, but the problem is he uses them in every single movie. If you watch an Edgar Wright movie, there is always a scene at the start where they tell you the whole movie that's going to happen in code. Because in Shaun of the Dead, famously, when they're talking about how their night's going to go off, like what drinks they're going to have and what their plan is, they end up doing that throughout the movie. And that happens in Baby Driver, it happens in At the World's End, and it happens in Hot Fuzz. It's fun the first time you do it, but if you're going to do this every single time, that's it's not clever anymore.
Because we expect it.
So he's just someone who recycles the same thing, even the same cast. He keeps getting Nick Frost and Simon Pegg to do all these movies.
Which Nick Frost is the chubby guy?
Yes.
Yeah, I saw him do a martial arts TV show called Into the Badlands.
That's funny. Was it a comedy?
No.
Was he a fighter?
And he was funny as well. And he did some good fighting.
Huh.
See, the show started, it was one of those shows where they got the martial art expert guys, people who were trained to do martial art choreography, and maybe they had like an acting lesson once. Like, the acting's not important. The whole point was to watch a bunch of people do some serious wushu. And the first season was just all that, and it was great. And then the second season, the guy was in some sort of prison or something, and that's where he met him. And then I'm like, oh, they've got a comic relief, that's good. And then he starts kicking and punching and doing like spinny kicks. I'm like, oh, he can fight! And he did it really good. Like, that guy's a great actor, and he really takes his role seriously.
I picture him being like an English Sammo Hung.
You took the words out of my mouth. I was gonna describe that exactly, that he fights like Sammo Hung.
And you're probably the only person who that reference could be for to.
Yes, that was just for me.
Fuck you, we're not explaining who he is. Look him up.
Yeah,
Sammo Hung. It's in the show notes.
You're all looking at him right now and going, oh, that guy. That's what everyone says when they see Sammo Hung. Oh, that guy.
So Shaun of the Dead, you liked that one?
I did. I thought it was really good. And that was one of those ones where they are having conversations when something's coming at them, but they do it in such a way of like, no, this is how people actually act. Like,
in a comedy movie, it works.
Because it's a comedy, but it's also that reality shift of like, even though there's something serious and we all like to think, oh, when the zombies come, I'm going to be heroic and stand up. No, we're all still like, wait, were you just taking a stab at me, dude? Like, why are you insulting me? Dude, I'm not insulting you. We got to fight the zombies right now. Like, you know what I mean? Like, people are still stuck in everyday mode, and that's why I think Shaun of the Dead's more realistic than most zombie films. They're trying to throw records at the zombies, but they have to decide which records they're okay killing. That's my favorite line. That's the second album I ever bought. That means nothing. But you know, like, you have things like that. Oh, I can't. It's my second last Tic Tac, so I need them.
I don't know. What would be the second album I bought? Actually, I do know that. That was Savage Garden. That was my second album. And now I've admitted on a podcast that I bought that album.
Oh, we all make stupid mistakes. You're all right.
What was your second album then?
It would have probably been Frenzel Rom. Something Frenzel... Oh, Man Is Not a Camel.
Who the hell is that?
Do you not know who Frenzel Rom is?
No. What?
Oh, okay. They were an Australian punk band.
Okay. So you bought something cool.
So I've never had so much fun. No, we've never had so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember when I've ever had so much fun. Yeah, that's Frenzel Rom. And that was from the album A Man Is Not a Camel.
Huh.
And they did other songs too.
See, my first album was The Simpsons, The Key Sounds of Springfield.
That's respectable.
Yeah.
That makes up for Savage.
There's also like putting into context that I'm like a 7-year-old kid at the stage when I bought both these albums.
Which is fair enough, because like when was my first album bought? When I was like a teenager. In my head, I'm like, it's like 15-year-old Ben, like, yeah, the chicks are gonna love me. I'm gonna put on the Savage Garden. They're gonna think I'm tough. That's because when I was 15, I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna buy Frenzel Rom, then they'll think I'm cool. I'm gonna get to such a boob. I can see what you're struggling in your head, Ben. Do you just want to go to the movie list?
That would probably be a good idea.
Oh, and then there's video games. We'll get to that too. Ah, Resident Evil. That counts as a zombie film, doesn't it?
Yeah, games. No, let's talk about that. That's actually better. So Resident Evil. Now, that's more a puzzle-solving game though, with zombies thrown in.
I haven't played many of the games, and I've only seen a couple of the movies.
The movies have nothing to do with the games, apart from they got zombies and some of the same villains in it. That's...
Does the girl have the same color hair at least?
No, that character doesn't exist in the games.
Okay, now I'm really flawed. Like, what?
No, it's this weird thing where you get into a room and you're looking for a way out for hours, and then you're just like, oh, I see now. I had to move the plant into the sunlight so it grew and triggered this thing, which would open a cupboard which had secret stairs that I would go down and put a picture in this frame, and that's how I get the key. It's all so obvious now.
Why didn't I just do that to start with? Do the zombies continuously come out?
No, it depends what section you're in. You keep having to pass through streets, and sometimes zombies will come into rooms where you've got to kill them while you're solving the puzzle. But most of it's puzzle based.
Because that's what I wanted to check. Like, do you have to figure out this puzzle while you're killing zombies the whole time? Or is it like you clear the place out and then you like wander around aimlessly in empty halls going, how do I get out of here?
Usually if you go through a whole building, you've got to kill like 5 or 6 zombies and that's it. You never have like hordes coming at you.
It's not about the zombies. That's just a reality you live in.
Yes, essentially.
I live in a world where there are zombies. It's not that big a deal, really. It's the people built it up way bigger. But what I'm really into is puzzles.
It is a very slow-paced game.
It sounds like the sort of game that, like, I go in, I kill the zombies, I wander around for 5 minutes, then I Google how to pass the level, and then repeat until I can leave. And then I get to the end and go, why did I play that?
Have you played the Black Ops zombie mode?
No, I have not played Black Ops at all.
That's a really cool game, actually.
I actually think I might have a copy at home. I've just never played it.
I mean, I have a copy you can borrow if you want.
Yeah, it's a question of me actually getting to the point of playing it. Everyone made a big deal about that one, though.
It's a good game, but they have a zombie mode in there as well, where you're in a room and you start with a pistol, and you've got to shoot zombies as they try and break through the walls, and you can rebuild the walls to make it slower for them to come through.
Oh, that's cool.
And the hordes get bigger and bigger, and you can get better guns as it goes along and move to different rooms.
It's one of those elimination games, like how long you can hold out.
It's how long you can hold out. There's no end. You will die eventually.
Are there waves?
There's waves,
okay,
yes.
So it's not a continuous stream. It's like, you survived the wave. Now is your chance to rebuild and take a breather and eat a hot dog or whatever they do.
Yeah, it has this little like musical spike that comes in every now and then when you've cleared off a wave, and that becomes soothing to you. Every time you hear that, you're like, oh, thank God, I can breathe for a second. And then it goes dun-dun, and you're like, oh no, they're coming.
Like you didn't expect that.
And even after the dun-dun, because they start outside and they take a while to walk up to the building, so there's a suspenseful moment where you're checking all the
where
all the
they're gonna
windows
come
and stuff, where they're coming from. And then one gets in the room through an exit that you're not checking, and then you're just like, no.
Oh.
And they've opened it up now, so hordes are coming through there.
I've played elimination games like that where it's how many waves you can survive. But the problem is they're like timed waves in some of these games. So the next wave will come when I haven't even finished the last one. Because you just hear this like 3, 2, 1, next wave. What? No! No, I'm not done!
I have tried playing it with Shannon before. That lasted about 30 seconds before she was like, no, this is horrible. I hate this.
Specifically, what was her problem with it?
She doesn't like things where she has to react immediately.
I can understand that. The coordination of the controller, it's a bit of a gamer skill to be able to do a shooty person game. We have to point at something that's moving.
And also because it's zombies, you got to make headshots or it doesn't count.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't want to play that. That sounds stupid.
It is a very intense thing. I got to admit, the first couple of times I played it lasted like 10 seconds. But then you start figuring it out and then it becomes addictive.
But it's my only skill. Let me demonstrate it. So what do we got here? 7 Days to Die. Never heard of it.
Probably just be quicker if we find the ones we knew. Alone in the Dark. They have Alone in the Dark 3, but I remember playing one of the Alone in the Darks. I remember it was the first horror game that I played as a kid, and I probably was about 7. This was even before I bought my Savage Garden album.
Oh, wow. This is what made you turn towards the Savage Garden.
You have a cutscene that the game starts with where your guy effortlessly walks through a haunted mansion all the way up to the attic and finds some book, and that's when the game starts, and you've got to make your way down, and it's way harder to get down than it was for him to get up.
Because what, he finds the book that releases zombies, I'm guessing?
I think so, because you have zombies. I remember in the first room, you got to figure out how to get out, but if you take too long, a zombie opens up a trap door and comes up after you.
Oh, God.
And it's before you've had a chance to pick up any weapons. But as a kid, we figured out that if you get a box and push it over that trap door, he can't actually get out.
Yep, so then you're safe.
Yeah, but then you got to walk out through hallways that are booby-trapped. It's a game where you do something and then you die, learn the lessons from that, and try again. After you get out of the room, all you see is a hallway, and once you take like 5 steps down there, the ground gives way and your character dies. So then you go through a door before where it cracks, look around that room and try and figure out a way past.
I mean, anyone who's played a game where you die in it, like Fallout, that's a classic for that, because you get to a high radiation place or something that kills you very quickly. Like, you can do a lot of things to save it. The only way to do it is to go straight to the thing that you don't know where it is and then come back. So you die like 20 times going, what if I go this direction? What if I go this direction? How about over here? Then you find it, you go in and out. Oh, that wasn't so bad. I'm going to say that Fallout has zombies in it. They're called ferals or ghouls.
See, I haven't played Fallout yet. I've heard a lot about it, and I know the dude with the giving the thumbs up and the smiley face, that symbol.
Yeah, the Pip-Boy guy.
Guy, yeah. I know of him. But it's a first-person shooter, isn't it, where you go around post-apocalyptic wasteland?
Yes, you can be viewing third-person, like from behind the dude's back. But it's this weird camera thing when you turn your guy, the camera turns so that the guy's the center. It just feels weird when you're in third-person mode.
So first-person's the best way to go.
And, Shannon, listening, you have a mode in it where you push a button. When you're trying to shoot people, you can push a button and it freezes everything. You can pick where you want to shoot them and it does like an automatic firing.
Oh, that's cool.
So if you're not a person who likes to do the shooties, that's the answer to it.
Oh, there you go. We'll have to get that. Is that on Xbox 360?
You know it is. I'm playing it. Not the latest one, but you can get 3 and New Vegas, which I highly recommend New Vegas. It's pretty damn good. They're all good.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, once you find a good series. Like, I'd play more of these Call of Duties.
They got Call of Duty Black Ops. The zombies in there twice. Oh, one's for an Android. Like, so you can play it on your phone.
On your phone, yeah. And iOS, which is
the other kind of
iPhone. So that's for both. You could download the Black Ops Call of Duty Zombies.
This podcast is sponsored by Black Ops for your phone.
Yeah, a lot of these just seem to be different Call of Duty games.
Yeah, we're going to
get it.
They have
the zombies in there.
It was released many times on different platforms.
I know my brother just recently gave me a copy of one called Left 4 Dead.
Oh, yeah, I think I've got that waiting to be played. Is that a zombie game?
Yeah, I mean, the title seems like a pretty dead giveaway.
I think because when I bought it, it was next to like a one where you're in a spaceship that something evil happens in.
Now I think about it, Left 4 Dead is a very vague title.
Yeah, that could be a robbery gone wrong, a survive in the jungle, plane crash. Although it'd be hilarious if it turns out it's just zombies and you were right in your first guess. Is Half-Life a zombie thing? I've heard of Half-Life, I'm aware it exists, never played it. I just assumed that was Fallout-ish.
Now, I've played that the same. It's actually very similar to Alone in the Dark, where you make your way into a facility very easily and then the whole game is making your way out again. Zombies try and get you because you're in a dodgy lab that's trying to do some genetic engineering thing.
That, hence the Half-Life thing.
Yeah, it's been a while since I played it, though.
Fair enough.
But there are definitely definitely zombies.
House of the Dead.
Oh my god, I can't believe I forgot about this. This game was awesome.
The arcade game which had to have the curtain because you must be 15 or older.
I remember when I first saw that, I was like really little and I went to look behind the curtain and the guy who worked in the arcade actually told me, I said, no, you can't go in there. And that made me want it more.
Yes, and since that day, it didn't matter what happened when I got behind that curtain, I knew I'd be an adult.
Next time I saw it in an arcade, I looked around to see if anyone was watching and went in there and played it.
The mischievous little Ben looking over each shoulder. Is they looking? Okay, I'm gonna do it.
And then I was stunned with the realistic graphics.
I bet you couldn't sleep for a week. It was just so realistic and graphic.
They actually had a version of this that got released on the Wii, which is a good console for it because you got those little remote things. That,
the shooter, yeah.
Yeah, that turn into guns and you can get little plastic shells that go around them that make them more like guns.
Oh, cool.
So you can actually point at the screen and shoot. I remember we had that for a while and Shannon even got into that one.
So that's different when you're holding the gun. When you have to do a first-person shooter, all aiming is done by your thumb. And that's kind of a hard thing to do when you're in a tight situation and you know, you've got to know how much to move. Like, it's a skill.
I do like those rail shooter games, though, where you just stay on a single frame, clear everyone out, yep. Move on to the next one.
I remember PlayStation 2 Die Hard Trilogy. It was three games, and one of them was a first-person shooter. I never had a gun to shoot with, so you had to do it with the controller. But what made it even more hard was that you sort of go, well, there's these things that you keep missing or stuff you got to get that's not there. And if you move your crosshairs enough to the side, you realize that it'll move the screen a little bit. So what you see on the screen isn't everything, but what's off screen is just like two very thin panels. Maybe it moves like a meter in real life space, but that's where things are hidden.
This game, I have no idea what it is, but it kind of makes me want to play it. And it's an Xbox 360. It's called I Made a Game with a Zombie in It.
Oh, doesn't that sound awesome?
I want to see this on YouTube now. It looks very old school.
I think it's meant to look like it's like made Minecraft retro. Is.
Oh, there we go. So you're just in the center and there's just a bunch of zombies while you try and kill them. I really want to play this game, actually.
It's an arcade game, totally. And it's you're looking down on the guy.
The best description I can say is asteroids with zombies, except you can move around more.
It's a little
but it's like you're a
around.
Little dude in the middle instead of the triangle and the zombies are closing in on you. And there's bigger ones.
Okay, so you just go around and you just shoot zombies until it's very low graphics and you'd see this in an 80s arcade game.
Though it's simple games like this that I find the most addictive.
Well, yeah, because this is just gameplay. It's not about the story. It's not about the graphics. It's just gameplay.
Do you really need a story in a zombie game? It's like, there are zombies. You want to survive. That's well, self-explanatory.
You are talking to the guy who played the Walking Dead video game, just story. There's nothing but story.
Oh, we haven't talked about that. Yeah, because you spent a lot of time
crying over Clementine. Yes.
Yes. On the Walking Dead. We've talked about it a couple of times on this podcast.
It has come up. Like, I've never played a game which is just a story you make. Like, that's all the game is. There's no, like, oh, you need to be able to shoot people good or you need to set up your base good. It's just making conversation choices and seeing what happens and falling in love with a poor little girl whose parents are dead.
Did you play that before watching the TV series?
Like, no, I specifically played it because of the TV series. I watched the show. I was probably about 4 or 5 seasons deep. And then I saw there was a video game and I went, I'll take that. Yes, I was absolutely shocked that I was a black guy and there's this little Asian girl I'm looking after and Rick wasn't in it. I'm like, I'll play Rick. Where the fuck is Rick?
I don't recognize any of these people.
Yeah.
Where's Daryl? He's meant to help me.
There needs to be a button you can push and Daryl just rocks up on his motorbike and shoots someone with a crossbow.
Like, so the black guy's not T-Dog?
So yeah, I was absolutely shocked by that. To the point that I sort of went like, do I even want to play it? But then cut to me last scene in the game. Clementine!
You care more about these people than you do about Rick and Daryl and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, because I know Rick and Daryl will be fine. I can leave them alone. They'll be okay. And everyone else on The Walking Dead, I don't care if they die. But Clementine, she's a little girl. I mean, that's not cool. I've been protecting her for so long and I'm about to die and I need to look after her. It's a very sad thing.
See, that's good in games when they can write the story well because you feel more invested in it. When you're watching The Walking Dead TV shows, they're the ones making all the decisions. But in that game, you made the decisions. Mm. What happened was your fault.
Exactly. And that's going back to why I hated Walking Dead eventually, because not only are they not running when they should be, they're having a conversation, but all the problems stem from the response they gave. Like, instead of just saying, oh, it's over there. They talk around facts, like, because they have a plot that they have a poorly written script to, and they're trying to get to a point, so they have to avoid things so they can have things happen. So you're sitting there, like, I'm yelling at the screen, just say this! And then later on, they're like, oh, I didn't know that. If only someone told me. I tried. I yelled at you through the TV. But with the game, because you have to make, you've got four options of what to say, but there's a limited time to pick it. So you don't even have time to read all the options. You just have to go on the fly. That's what makes it cool, because it's just like, now I can appreciate the people in the TV show, because I'm like, well, they had to do it on the fly too. They didn't have time to think of the right response. Yeah, they had to pick one of the four options.
That is one of the most annoying things in those shows, because I feel like there was a real zombie apocalypse going on and we're being chased by zombies. That's not the time you and I are going to have a heart to heart. Like, if I said something earlier that hurt your feelings, get over it.
Exactly. You know, right now we've got a more pressant priority.
Yeah. If I've hurt your feelings now, yeah, sure, you can vent all you want. But when the zombie's chasing us, you don't get that anymore.
And let's talk about the word perspective. It's all relative, isn't it? Oh my God, I feel so sad. I hate this guy. He was mean to me. Then you save my life from certain death. You know what? I might let the insult go. I think saving someone's life or fighting along someone precedes or supersedes everything. You can punch me in the dick, but if you then go and save my life, I guess we're even.
And I don't think it's any time where you start having, like, relationship issues either.
Yeah,
it's like, just like, good enough is good enough now.
Could you imagine that? You're, like, fighting off zombies. You're like, hey, Shannon, it may not be the best time, but I think we should see other people. Slash, yeah. Stab, rack, stab, hack, hack. She's like, what? How can you say that? Stab, hack, slap.
This one seemed interesting. You got Judge Dredd vs. Death.
Ooh. Came out in 2003. So this is based off the Sylvester Stallone movie?
Well, it says a first-person shooter, Judge Dredd faces numerous zombies, vampires, and mutants.
Ooh.
Whilst attempting to stop Judge Death from destroying the world's population. That's really not a well-thought-out villain name. It's definitely a placeholder that stuck.
Like, they released it and went, wait, when were we supposed to fix that name up? Oh, well, I guess it's called Donkey Kong now.
Judge Dredd, who was played by Sylvester Stallone, though I think this is, because it was a comic book character before that, so I think it probably more derives from that.
There was a more recent one, which I think is better, even though you said it's just the raid.
It seems more forgettable than the other one. Everyone remembers the Sylvester Stallone Judge Dredd movie, even though it was bad.
It's because he was in it, and it was kind of stupid and very corny, and like all the crap they had on him, and like his bike is covered in all this. Like, why would you put that on it? That looks really stupid.
But yeah, that was back on the original Xbox and also the PlayStation 2 and GameCube.
What? Left 4 Dead. I think I realized that I was thinking of a different game.
Yeah, that was the one we were talking about.
Yes, because is this the one they're in a shopping center? I've got Left 4 Dead 2, I think.
Oh, yeah, I've got one where you're in a shopping center as well. Because you're in a helicopter.
Yeah, this is it. See, Left 4 Dead 2. Yeah, you come in a helicopter and you take photos on the way in and you get points for photos or something.
Isn't that one a third person? Because I know I've got that on the Wii.
Yeah, sorry, it is a third person.
Because I think Left 4 Dead is a first person shooter. I don't know what the other one's called.
It's almost comical because you can make weapons. You put a chainsaw on a broom or something. Or you use like a lawnmower to kill zombies.
I know what the game is, damn it.
And that's not Left 4 Dead, because it's something like that though.
So here we go. I managed to dig through my pile and find the game. It's called Dead Rising. Chop Till You Drop is the one that I've got. You said you got Dead Rising 2.
Yes, I have Dead Rising 2. I don't know what the second line of it is. Mine was in a shopping center. Where's that one set?
This one's in a shopping center. You start in a helicopter.
Yep, same as 2.
And you're some sort of reporter guy or journalist or something. Helicopter crashes and lands on top of a shopping center, which seems to be most of the plots of a zombie film. Is someone stuck in a shopping center.
That way you've got everything. Like, what's a big enough venue that you'd have to stay in that would have everything you need? And also that had that many doors and stuff? Like, if you said, like, it was a football stadium, that's all pretty open plain. Like, you'd have to physically block everything off and it'd be impossible. If you did it in an apartment building, you'd eventually starve. But a shopping center, there's enough stuff and there's enough different terrain that, like, this one happens to have a fountain in it. You know how some shopping centers have a fountain? Well, we had an idea for a fountain zombie scene. So this shopping center has a fountain in it now. I've got a great idea for an escalator zombie idea. Bingo, right there.
It does have all its places. If you want to use something where someone gets decapitated by a chainsaw, there's a shop that sells chainsaws.
Of course there is. And then the sporting goods store with the baseball bats.
There is always a good scene in the sporting goods store. If you have a zombie in a shopping center, someone's got to take him out with a baseball bat or a hockey stick at some point.
We should do an Australian one just so they can get the cricket bat in there.
You aren't wanting to jam cricket and things. I don't like cricket. I know I'm Australian, but... And sorry to any of our listeners who like cricket. I know that's one quite passionate about. I don't usually like to diss a religion, but...
See, I don't watch cricket. I didn't even like playing it as a kid, but I can respect that it's there.
See, I didn't mind playing it, though it's only fun when you're batting or bowling. Well, everything else is boring.
Like, to me, cricket, as a child, my impression of cricket wasn't a game. Cricket was standing in a field, not allowed to talk to my friends, and then eventually I'd be told I could leave the field. I never got to bat, I never got to bowl. This was school for me when they all right, boys, PE time, we're all going to play cricket. So the kids who we've decided will be playing cricket are going to play it, and you kids stand over there where the ball will never come. Can I stand close to my friends so we can at least chat? No, you're going to defend the thing. The ball's never going to come your way, but you're not allowed to stand close to each other.
Did you ever play French cricket where you would stand with your legs together in front of you and your legs were the stumps and there'd be a circle of people around you who would throw balls at you and try and hit your legs and you had to bat it away? That was a fun game. I didn't mind that.
That was alright. And you played it that you couldn't move your legs. Like, so if someone's throwing the ball from behind, you have to defend backwards.
I like that. It's like, there's games I enjoy playing. I don't enjoy watching them so much.
I think it's interesting that when people say like Indian wrestling or Indian burns, that's so inappropriate to say now. That is offensive. But French cricket still remains.
Yeah, because who cares if you insult the French?
That's my point. Like, what, because they're well off, so no one's like, no, they're fine. They've got a tower. What do Native Americans have? Nothing. We took it all. Leave them alone. Stop picking on them.
Well, you can't even call Native Americans Indians. They're Native Americans.
Well, we never should have to begin with. I think that was the point. It was just Christopher Columbus just being really like, no, this is India.
Look, nickname stick. Deal with it.
Exactly.
Yeah, you could get into a whole debate, though, about political correctness of, like, what's the list of places we are allowed to make fun of and which ones aren't we allowed to make fun of?
And is it, like, if someone goes, oh, you can't say French cricket, that's offensive, because I'm 1/3 French? That's my word. You can't say it, but I can.
I find funny that we're looking back these days at all the atrocities our ancestors have caused, and we should all be sorry about that. But everyone seems to have forgiven Germany, and they did some fucked up shit.
Yes, and the same with Japan, too.
Well, once we drop the nuclear bomb on them, it's evensies.
That is fair. Like, if anything, I think we're grateful that they're not bitter about it. Like,
right.
The fact that they wanted to move on was like, oh, thank God. Oh, that would have been so embarrassing. We sort of walk around like, oh, don't mention the war to Japanese people. But I think they're more like, okay, guys, don't mention the bomb to them because we don't want to be awkward. When you think about it, like, we were taught history. And, like, then, you know, we dropped the atom bomb and that stopped the war and the good guys won. But that's actually a really horrific thing.
Oh, yeah, it was awful.
We destroyed two major cities with, like, civilians. I don't know if I've said this. I saw this thing. It reminded me. In Japanese movies, radiation makes monsters. In American movies, radiation makes superheroes.
Ah.
I wonder what event in history could have happened that led to these two very separate outcomes.
Yeah, they don't really have a good history with radiation over in Japan.
But I think the reason we specifically forgave Germany is that, well, they're kind of too useful. Like, they're good at stuff. If it wasn't for the Nazis, we wouldn't have BMW or Mercedes.
That was World War II, so that means that's not even the first time they tried to take everyone on.
Again, they did it.
Like, we're worried about North Korea, you get worried about Russia, never know what America's up to. But, like, nobody looks at Germany and goes, what if they tried to take over the world? I mean, they've already done it.
Yeah, they tried it twice. What they say, like, a known felon?
Yeah.
Like, this is your MO. Like, North Korea, to be fair, never tried to take the world. Just South Korea. And I do think it's a great trick by America, too, just to get political for a second. They seem to be really good at finding, like, hey, see this tiny little third world country? Yeah, they're a big threat. They're the bad guy. We're the underdogs in this fight. Everyone buys it? Like, yeah, you're like Rocky IV. Because America, he went over there and he ran up the mountain in the snow while the Russian had all the technology. That's North Korea with all their internet.
Now, my favorite thing is how they explain why everything's shit over there. It's like, well, they hate freedom. Life could be good for them, but they hate freedom.
They just hate that sweet-tasting freedom.
They don't want to have food every day. They hate it for some reason.
Yeah, so we hate them for hating that. But yeah, so Germany's just too useful. And they're nice people.
Yeah, now.
But even at the time, like, I mean, there was like one bad guy, and I mean, the economics was bad. Everyone just wanted a job. I mean, come on, like, I wouldn't hold it against anyone if I was in... You know what? I'm going to stop saying what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, it's complicated. You have like the Versailles Treaty that completely fucked over Germany after World War One.
Since World War One, they had a whole bunch of unemployed soldiers. What do you do with a bunch of unemployed soldiers? How do you get them to vote for you?
Netflix is full of documentaries on Hitler. So I've had a chance to go through a heap of these. And it really seems that he could have won if they weren't so preoccupied with killing Jews.
Yes.
Like, that seemed to hold them back. And even when it was causing problems, they're like, let's do it more. And it's like, strategically, that was dumb.
Yeah, the amount of resources and men you're putting to this thing that... And I mean, let's be honest. Couldn't you have done it after you won the World War? Like, okay, now we own the world. Let's kill the Jews. Like, don't do that. But like, couldn't he... Why did he have to do it simultaneously? Or do it beforehand?
And even like the Germans at that time were like, kill the Jews? That's a little weird. And like, they had to sort of warm them to it. Obviously, this isn't a solution that everybody wants.
And it was a slow, because they were a scapegoat. Basically, Hitler said that the reason we're in a lot of economic trouble is because of Jewish people. Complete lie, complete farce. But when you're looking for a scapegoat, it's like, oh, we're losing our jobs because of these asylum seekers. I've never lost a job to someone from like Singapore or wherever they come from. I don't even know where they come from.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. The scapegoat in this country is what the Asian countries. In America, you've got like the Mexicans and yes. stuff like that. In England, you've got like the Polish and
yes.
all that. Like, every country's got their people who they blame everything on.
And it moves, because I mean, you don't have to go too far back in history where the Irish were the scapegoat for everyone. Oh, we hate them coming over here and doing our jobs for cheaper. They're ruining the economy.
Though, in that defense though, when Aboriginals first went, I've got a funny feeling about these white people, they were spot on.
Spot on. Native Americans too.
Yeah.
Like, these guys just nicknamed us Indians. I don't know what an Indian is. I feel like they're not listening to us at all, or taking on board our thoughts and feelings.
Do you think when a Native American first saw an Indian, they just went, what? This is what you thought we were? This isn't even close.
Well, they have the same hair. I'll give them the hair. I mean, the cheekbones are a little... Native Americans have really good cheekbones. That's their thing.
Yeah, but you have like Indians. They sort of have darker skin than the dot. Like, yeah. If you have a Native American and an Indian standing side by side, you have no trouble telling the difference.
I think you've stumbled on it. Christopher Columbus, like, we all sort of like pass over like, oh, he was trying to get to India, so they called them Indians. Maybe he was just such a big racist. He's like, nah, they're brown, close enough. Whatever, I don't care. Shut up, I'm tired. What's this, corn? Give it to me, it's mine now.
Everyone's Indians.
Or to quote the Boondocks, when he discovered kickball, well, he was in China. He called it Jap baseball because he didn't know which country he was in and he didn't particularly care.
I love though that the things that cultures are most known for are things we made up for them.
Like the fortune cookie?
Yeah, with the Chinese.
Everything that China has as a culture, I say in inverted commas, is just what we've decided they do. They have their whole world that we don't even know about because we're not interested in. And what I like about it is it's very mutual. They don't really care about white people's stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, this thing happened in Europe. So who cares? That's like another continent completely. We've got our own stuff going on.
They've even got their own Facebook in China.
Yeah, because they've got like an intranet, don't they? It's a bit protected.
Wiki Review is not in China. I can guarantee that.
Wow. Yeah, they hate the sound of our freedom. We just sound too free for their liking.
But if you are a listener in China, thank you for listening. You've gone to more effort than most.
I know, like, is this dangerous for you?
Like, could you go to jail for this?
Like, are we worth that? I'm guessing you have to send us, like, a letter. Like, I don't think you can email us. I'm not sure how your computers work.
Yeah.
But carry a pigeon. Get us a message. We will help get you out of there if that's what you want, or help keep you in there if you're enjoying China. I know maybe it's a great place. I've heard good things.
I mean, that's the common solution that everybody thinks of. Like, they probably want to come to our country, right? That's better.
No, I've met many Chinese people who all they do is bitch about being out of China. And I've worked with a girl who just went, it's so much better in China. Like, she hates it here. And you know, when you sit there, like, at first you're polite and you're learning about another culture, but at a certain point you go, well, why don't you just, like, go home? And like, oh my god, I've become my father. Just like every other white person. They were just waiting for me to say that.
But I've lived overseas and...
Well,
like, I
was... Overseas in the... You lived in England, the least overseas that overseas can be. If you're any less overseas, you'd just be in New Zealand.
But I did live there and there was no yearning for like, oh, I want to stay here forever. It was just like, no, I want to come back to Australia. I like Australia. It's where I was from.
It's true. And I think that's just... We're conditioned to this is what's okay.
Yeah, this is home. Could you picture living in another country? country? Like, if you had to pack up and move...
Yeah, well, it's hard for me because I don't... Like, you've gone places and done things. I've never gone anywhere or done anything. I am a Brisbaneite. Not that I like Brisbane. I'm really poorly equipped to live here, and I really should move, but I haven't. Like, I could picture it, but, like, it's more like a fantasy picture. Like, you know, I'll have a great house out in the country. It'll be like a cottage, and every day I'll take my hound for a walk, and we'll pick wild berries. But in reality, it's probably like I'll live in like some share flat with a bunch of New Zealanders.
See, I would only move overseas if I had a lot of money, because Australia is a good country to be poor in. If you don't have much money, you can still have a decent life here.
Got a whole welfare thing.
When I was living in London, I would have to work a bar job there, and I would live in a place where I had one bedroom.
Yeah.
Shannon and I shared a bedroom, and there was like six other rooms in this house being rented by six other people.
Oh, wow. That's a lot.
And so, yeah, we would share a kitchen, we would share a bathroom, and sharing a bathroom with that much people is not good. It feels like a public bathroom at that stage.
That's a lot of people, like, especially when, like, it's rush hour, and everyone's trying to get ready for work or something, and you're like, well, just everyone gets home from work at the same time, needs to take a crap. Imagine having to wait seven people. Imagine how stinky it would be after the fifth.
And the people who we were living with, none of them were actually English.
Okay, so you weren't kidding.
All over the European Union here.
Okay, it's your own little UN.
Yeah, it turned out that there was... Back then, there was an opening of the borders where Polish people could come and work. So there was kind of this flood come in. And so I knew a lot of Polish people while I was over there. And I also learnt that Polish cooking smells.
It's a lot of cabbage, isn't it?
Yeah, and fish.
Oh, it's like Swedish people and their herrings.
Yeah, and they like the fish when it has like a jelly-like thing on it. And...
Why?
I don't know. And they would have it room temperature. So it just... It's fish dish sitting out on the bench, just wafting throughout the entire house.
You sure that they're not just, it's just these people? This is traditional.
Just some crazy guy who's just like, I bet I can cook anything.
Because it sounds like you've just described everything you can do to make food bad. All right, let's, just the jelly part of the stinky animal that would be at room temperature. Yeah, just leave it out and just see what happens.
Yeah, I think it's called whatever the Polish word for food poisoning is. It didn't look pleasant. And I remember I had a mouthful as a polite thing, and I couldn't have a second mouthful no matter how much politeness I mustered, because I couldn't swallow it. I had to spit it, and I'm like, do you want more? I'm like, I just spat it out.
I can't do this. I'm sorry. Oh, that's hilarious. That was a pretty realistic view of England. Yeah, everywhere you walk, there's just Polish people.
Well, that's what I thought when I went over there. I was just like, I hear a lot of whinging about immigration back home, but here they've really got immigration. It's really multicultural.
It's the whole Commonwealth put together. England traveled the world, took over everywhere, and then they all came back to England. We've got like three different countries come here.
It's like 90% of the people I meet are just white people.
Yeah.
And that's all I know. Where's these floods of immigrants?
Mm. And even like if we were to try and even break up the white people, it's mostly Irish and English, and anyone who's not Irish or English tries to be Irish or English. Like just blend in. And we have that thing too where it's, oh, I'm Australian. No, actually, where are you from genetically? I'm Australian. Okay, you're a dumbass.
See, I see my background as two from all over the shop to actually determine, because I've got like Irish, German, English, pretty much all around that sort of like European Union. It's just all gemmed into me to make this. And so I guess I'm Australian.
I call it an Aussie mongrel because I'm the same sort of deal. Yeah. German, Irish, English, Scottish.
Because I have the German last name. Yes. But even that's just a small part of me, because I think I'm half English because my mum was born English.
Yep.
Which is how I managed to get like British citizenship when I went over there.
Hey, that means technically you can never run for parliament in Australia.
Yeah, like that was going to happen.
I know it was a big concern.
I know. Just... Oh no, I'm not going to sleep at night now.
Oh, what are we going to do with this planner you've got up on the wall here that's like your 5-year plan that ends with you as prime minister?
I guess you're going to have to run in the Humidor party now. I can't.
Not if anyone's ever searched my name. Trump's gotten in power and proven that like if you're rich, you can do whatever you want and still be the president. But I'm thinking it might just be a response to, now that the internet's been around long enough, everyone has like a nude pic of them on the internet somewhere. We all walk around with cameras now, and with the internet we can share our videos and footage. No one can run for government and not have something embarrassing show up about them anymore, thanks to technology. So maybe I could.
Because also, if you own it, like Trump just showed that you can say anything so long as you own it. Yeah. Never apologize, just go in deeper.
Yeah, double down. What do we always say? When put on the spot, double down.
If you made a racist joke, you would think the way is to apologize for anyone you've offended. No, you should just go, fuck that race. They're even worse. And it doesn't matter who it is.
That's really true, because the first thing you said is now completely irrelevant. You've just upped the ante. You're like, whoa, forget the first insult. What did you just say?
That's always been my pledge. Like, if I get in trouble for something that I say, I'm just going to say something that's even worse. Let's just keep doubling down until people get exhausted, then I'm fine.
That is the routine. So you double down on it. Everyone goes, wait, that's way worse. And then when they, like, you need to explain that, say something even worse until they're so overloaded that they just quit and vote for you and you can become prime minister.
It's the Donald Trump method.
I've seen it work. It's still working. There's going to be an election sometime soon, a year or two, I don't know. And we're going to see it work again.
Yeah, they're getting prepped for it. I like to think of the elections like they're the Donald Trump movie. You had the first one, which would have been titled The Joke Candidate.
Yes.
Which had the beautiful twist ending that the joke was on all of us.
Yes.
It was brilliant, brilliant ending. And now they're heading up to the sequel, which is this time we're going to get him.
Yeah. This is like Empire Strikes Back coming up.
Because it's interesting to see the liberals over there just like scrambling of like, we've really got to take him down this time. We lost a lot of credibility by losing the last election.
Because everyone said you were going to win and everyone acted like you were going to win and you were so smug about it.
Because then you've got the people who are running at the moment because they're figuring out who's going to run against Donald Trump. You got Bernie Sanders is coming back.
I've heard that name.
You got Joe Biden, who was the vice president to Barack Obama.
Oh, yeah. Is Joe Biden the guy who's a bit touchy on women?
No, I think Joe Biden's fine.
Because there was some guy who kept filling up women.
Hopefully it's not Joe Biden, otherwise he's not being president then.
Yeah, I don't think the Democrats would let him in if that was the case.
Yeah, Elizabeth Warren is the other one.
Okay.
They're sort of the front runners at the moment. You got Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren, and Bernie Sanders. So it will probably be one of those three running against Trump.
So Hill Dog's just not in it?
No, she's disappeared. She went into the mountains and we've never heard from her since.
I knew she went into the mountains. I just assumed she might have come back by now. She's still gone?
She's still gone. I think she gave up. I think she just went, fuck you, everyone. You obviously don't want me. I'm gone.
Fair enough, because that is what everyone said. Look, we like what you stand for. We just don't like you specifically. We'd like to vote for the Democrats. It's just, well, you're you.
Elizabeth Warren to me seems like a vastly more likable version of Hillary.
I've never seen this woman before in my life. I know nothing about her.
She seems likable and down to earth and has a little bit of a sense of humor.
Whereas Hill Dog, she kind of has that shrillness of like a woman who's been cheated on.
Yeah.
Why aren't you more fun? Why can't you be like Liz? Oh. Well, I'm sorry, but my husband's like constantly grabbing ass.
I personally want to see Bernie Sanders make it. He kind of reminds me of Larry David a lot. I mean, Larry David did play him on Saturday Night Live as well.
That
which I always
help.
Thought was good casting.
From what I know, he is kind of Curb Your Enthusiasm-ish.
But he's also got like these crazy out there ideas. And mostly I just want to see him running against Trump to see crazy versus crazy. I think it would just be fun for everyone.
Like, let's just be real about it. I'm pretty sure we're at the state where it doesn't matter who's in charge of America. It's not going to change anything. Trump didn't change anything. Look at all the crap he said he was going to do. He hasn't really done anything. It's still the same place. It's like in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, where the president of the galaxy is just like a figurehead, essentially. So the only way to do it is to be like interesting. He stole a spaceship because that's a thing that presidents do. So Trump versus Sanders, that'd be great. Like, I'm going to build a wall. I'm going to build a ditch. That's the opposite of a wall. We're going to attack North Korea. We're going to defend South Korea. I think that's what all politics should just be. Like, because they always pick on the like, I'm so mad at this person. We have to do it. Or no, just be cool. Like, if you just go out there and say, let's just be the craziest people we can be with the stupidest idea. Like, I would appreciate and respect a candidate who just flat out lied to you, like, if you vote for me, I will make sure everyone gets $1 million.
See, I wonder what's the technicality on that, because politicians lie all the time. How far could you push that?
You can lie as much as you're willing to be called a liar. Trump says nothing that's true, and he's just fine because he doesn't care what other people think. Whereas other people go, oh, I said this, and they go, well, you're not really going to do that. And they go, oh, you're right, I guess I'll go away. But if you don't really care what other people think of you, you can say whatever you want as a politician. Just accuse more people.
How hard is it to run for office.
I think you gotta fill out a form. I think you gotta pay some money.
Because it does sound like a really fun publicity stunt that we could do to promote Humidor.
I know.
One of us running for office somewhere. I mean, we won't get in. We know we won't get in, and we know we're not qualified to get in.
But we could at least make a spectacle of it.
And we would get media coverage.
We would. People would be like, well, at least check out the videos.
And we should just promise the most outlandish things ever.
Yes. And I like the idea. We just quietly enter into the race so that when the debate comes up, everyone's like, oh, he's just another independent. And then we get the podium. So it's been one guy talking about fiscal responsibility, another person talking about union action, another person the environment, and then we step up to the plate. The platform has been set. Everyone is super serious. It's super heated. And we just go, yo-yos for everyone. You get a yo-yo. You get a yo-yo. Everybody gets a yo-yo!
I would get up there and go, okay, hear me out, guys. Poppy seeds.
Yes! I don't even want to hear the end. I'm voting for that guy.
We're going to get rid of all the shops, all the schools, all the hospitals, everything. Poppy seeds. I had a poppy seed muffin. They're fantastic.
And I'll just be there as like your co-candidate. I can back you. They are delicious.
And then after they reject that, I get up and go, okay, sesame seeds. They're on every burger. I just want to grow seeds. It entertains me.
I just want seeds. Everything grows from seeds when you think about it. I mean, we all at some point a seed. All our food was at some point a seed. Come on, guys, seeds. The seediest candidate to date.
Because if I wanted to grow poppy seeds, it would start by getting poppy seeds.
Yes. And then planting said poppy seeds so you could grow poppies that you then take poppy seeds from. It sounds like a pyramid scheme, but it's real.
Because that's what I've always wanted to know is how many poppy seeds do I keep to grow more poppies and how many do I sell to put in muffins?
I suppose there's a ratio, yeah, because they're tiny.
They're tiny, yeah.
So how many do you put in the ground for more to come up? Yeah, the last thing you want is to harvest them all and then be like, crap, all the ones I put in the ground don't grow. And then how long do they last? Can you store them? Because do you get like a little like sort of buffer zone? I'm actually working out the fiscalness of this. It's probably not as funny as you had in your head.
I just think being a farmer that grows seeds is a genius scheme. Because most farmers have to wait till their crop ripens. You've just got, no, the seeds are the thing.
But it's the same as like an animal farmer who sells for meat. And they got the same problem. Well, I need the cow to make more cows, but I need to sell the cows as meat to make the money to keep the cows. So how many cows do I sell? I'll ask the poppy seed guy.
Wouldn't you have had that with chickens growing up?
Oh, no, that's...
No, you didn't sell meat chickens. You sold eggs.
No, wrong. They were meat chickens. But we were a contracted farm. So they would hatch at a hatchery and then they'd transport them to us, which we were contracted to grow. They weren't our chickens.
Oh, so you were babysitting chickens. You didn't actually make chickens there.
Yes, exactly.
I always assumed you grew up on like a little chicken factory.
No.
Like that would make more chickens.
It's just, yeah, you go in the conveyor belt. It starts off as a little egg.
Metaphorically, I thought that it was like a like you would see all the time, like you'd get eggs and you'd have to raise them till they hatched and then little chickens would come out and then you'd raise them to adulthood and put them on burgers.
That's a cute, but I think I like mine better with it where it's an actual like fun factory and it's a conveyor belt. I like to think of the, like, yeah, that's nice.
You could just imagine like a chicken on a conveyor belt chainsaw just comes off, yeah. Cuts its head off. Yeah, so long as you're playing old time cartoony music while you're doing it,
it's hilarious. Good. It's fine and upstanding.
I mean, I did work for a chicken factory at one stage that would package them and they would kill the chickens on site and they had where they would strap their legs in and lower them down into some water that was electrified.
Oh yeah, to stun them before they...
Wouldn't that just kill them?
The one I've worked for on the factory floor of the chicken abattoir, they put them on a conveyor belt so their legs get attached and then they get electric probe shock them so that they go out and then a blade cuts their head off.
See, I got offered a job in that room and I'm like, fuck no.
I like offered a job in that room like it was a rare distinction.
They said it's more money. I'm like, it better be more fucking money.
There's a reason you get paid more.
I'm glad those people are getting paid more, but I don't want to work with people who chose to do that either.
It really is the fact that you choose to do this job is what prevents me from being around you.
Like, that would fuck with me, just like getting home and watching TV and being like, huh, so I killed like 80 things today.
It would be way more than that too.
Oh, would it? Like, it would be kind of like a chicken holocaust every day. I'd be watching like the holocaust cost documentaries going, those people are lazy. I would have got it done way quicker.
Because they get picked up in the tens of thousands and they have to die immediately. Otherwise, they'll starve. Or, like, you know, you can't leave them sitting on a truck or in, like, a waiting bay. They have to get straight on the conveyor belt and killed while they're still hydrated. But no, back to our candidate running. Norm MacDonald had the greatest idea. By the end of my first term, there will be no death.
That's the best election promise ever.
You have to wait till the end of my term, though. Because how do you top that? That is the best call. I will eliminate death. What do you got? What was that? You're going to union action something? What's that, a tax plan? Yeah, yeah. I've created immortality.
I would definitely also like to get some dodgy companies to sponsor me.
You know, that's like really illegal what you just like but don't
don't they do that? Like they do the campaign things like
no, they,
smoking companies, don't they famously give money to
underhanded secret hush money. Wait, the way you said it, I thought you're going to rock up like a NASCAR driver with like the embroidered brands all over you, like, and you end every speech by saying, "Thank you, please vote for me, and just remember Golden Circle, it's where the fruits come from."
I would do that. Why can't I do that?
Wouldn't you? I mean, Pauline Hanson gets away with like running a company.
I understand why politicians can't do that, but I'm not gonna win.
That's true. Like, just because I'm running for government, like, we all know I'm not gonna win. Can I at least get something out of this? It's just publicity.
Oh my god, I hope we don't win though. If they asked me to do that job, I would just be like, I don't want to.
If we won because everyone hates everyone else so much, they're like, we're just gonna vote for the idiot. Or people go, yeah, poppy seeds, right? Right? I'm voting for that guy.
But I would get elected and I'd be like, poppy seeds, I'm over that.
But
they
then
get stuck in my teeth. It turns out I hate them.
Well, this is the thing. You don't have to stick to the promise. We don't care. It was stupid. We knew it was stupid. As long as you don't care about keeping your promises, do what you want. Then just rock up and they'll be like, what do you want to do, Mr. Prime Minister? I'm going to go fishing. You guys handle whatever it is gets done in this building with the guy in the wig. They say, you know, you have to do so many parliaments or whatever. You have to. What happens if the Prime Minister just doesn't rock up? They can't kick him out. You're not breaking any rule. I think that as long as you're cool with being a shitty prime minister, they can't get rid of you unless the party votes you out. But if it's our party, and also if everyone else is involved, because if we get enough seats to be the party in power, like, I don't want to be the prime minister. You're stuck with that job. I don't want to do it. And you'd be like, come on, guys, someone else be the prime minister. No, suck my balls.
See, I would just ask Facebook. If they asked me to make any decision, I would just leave it up to the internet. Whatever they told me to do, I would blindly obey. And that's how we'd run the country from now on.
You do a Facebook poll.
Yes, a Facebook poll.
Oh, I love that you're using the gimmicky version of actual politics. Like, they do actual polls that are more accurate. No, the Facebook, which I like. Hey, if you want to vote, just be my friend. That's all you got to do. And I'll be friends with anyone, and vote will count just as much as everyone else.
See, that's how we would have solved gay marriage. I would have just gone, just put it on Facebook.
There you go.
Whatever they say, that's law.
Exactly.
Because then nothing's my fault. It's all your people's fault.
And how much cheaper would that have been than the whole plebiscite crap?
Damn right.
That they would have saved on a lot of paper.
And it was basically as good as a Facebook poll.
It really did come back about the same. I mean, the only people who were involved were the people who cared.
But then I'd be coming and going like, oh, we got to bomb this country today. Facebook seems to be really wanting me to bomb this country.
Yeah, especially once people figure out that they can just make fake accounts. And then, yeah, some guy in China now runs Australia because he's figured out how to make bots. But you'd know because every time you add the friend request, this misspelled hello, how are you comes up. With spaces between how are you and hello. Like they've hit return twice, like no one does.
I mean, if I ran the country into the ground, by the end of it, I would just be like, look, you guys knew what you signed up for when you elected me.
I said poppy seeds. I was elected under the power of poppy seeds. Like, at that point, you're not responsible for your actions. You've made it clear you're not.
Look, and to be honest, I only did this to promote the YouTube channel. And thanks to this, the YouTube channel's going great. So yeah. Thanks, guys.
Well, I don't have time to do the Prime Minister thing. I've got some movies to do. I'm busy in Hollywood now. How many votes do you reckon you could get just by saying, I will prevent a zombie apocalypse?
You'd probably get a little bit. When they hand out the census and they have Jedi on there, you would get votes at the same rate Jedi is picked.
Yes, enough to make it exist, to be on the radar.
Where it'd be cool getting a seat.
It would be cool, wouldn't it? Like, it'd be boring to sit in there with everyone else, because have you ever listened to Parliament time? Whatever they call it, question time in Parliament?
Yeah, they all just yell at each other and cuss each other her out. It's amazing.
Yeah, it makes you realize why nothing gets done in this country. This is how we get things done. It's just guys mocking each other over stupid things like,
hey, remember how he said this? Well, it's like this now. I'm so clever.
Like, excuse me, aren't you supposed to be running a country? I think the poppy seed way is way more effective. Yeah, if we just make bold leaps of faith, like everything's gonna run on poppy seeds, death will no longer exist, you all get $1 million, and if that doesn't work, sesame seeds. And just make that work. And we will spend this country's entire treasury on making that work. You know those ye old stories about kings who like emptied the coffers of the entire kingdom to like find a unicorn or something? I love that we could do that.
I could make Wiki Review our national anthem.
All rise for Seoul.
It would be a whole episode.
Yeah, yes.
I just pick like one of the episodes and that whole episode is our national anthem now.
Oh, we'll do the page for national anthem. And then every time any sporting event starts, it's like an hour and a half of people standing there with their hand on their heart. Oh God, I'm dreading the Olympics. We better not win any medals because this is sad.
I'll be like, you're lucky I didn't make it one of the New Year's episodes. They're longer.
And then we depress everyone by talking about everyone who died.
But looking back on this zombie games list, one did stand out to me: Little Red Riding Hood's Zombie Barbecue.
I saw that and I was really hoping you'd click on it.
Because that's three things.
Nintendo DS can do things like that. It's like, yeah, they just threw a bunch of words together. So it's Little Red Riding Hood, zombies, and for some reason a barbecue. That has nothing to do with a barbecue.
No, I think it's just buzzwords put together so it would turn up on more searches.
Yeah, because people do search for Little Red Riding Hood, zombies, and barbecues.
It does look like a girl with a machine gun who's not wearing a red hood, by the way. She's wearing something that's orange.
That's red-ish.
It's orangey red. We can agree to disagree on that one.
Okay, we can agree.
But it's not over a head. Well, and hood is part of that.
Well, I think I can see a hood that's not over her head, but that's a hood behind her, like hanging behind, like when you take the hood off.
Not possibly.
Like, I'm gonna give her a pass, but more to the point, that's not a person, is it? That's an animal.
No, or
is
it a person? Weird? It's just from behind with weird cartoony hair.
Okay, because she's got anime hair, so.
And she's fighting someone in a futuristic device that's shooting lasers and rockets at her.
Yeah, this is very old school arcade game, but it's a DS game, so it has to be, you know, for a portable thing. But this has nothing to do with zombies. We'll give Little Red Riding Hood a pass just because it's something. There's a girl in an orange trackie, but there's no barbecue and there's no zombies. And honestly, if I saw a game Little Red Riding Hood Zombie Barbecue, I'd be more in it for the barbecue and the zombies.
Well, I did also want to get into this before the episode ends of, do you have a plan if zombies were to come? Do you have something in your head? What's the Garth plan?
Okay.
We'll go through our plans for what we do in a zombie apocalypse.
Step one, I have a very general apocalypse plan because zombie is low on the list of possibilities. But I go back to the parents' farm because there is a bore so we can have water, and it's close enough to the ocean that that bore water is not salinous or whatever you call it. We will have animals to eat. There is a veggie patch and we have guns to defend ourselves. That way I can also protect my mother and any other females involved in the tribe, and my brothers will also be there, and we can bring along other people who are of warrior status. Me and my brothers combined, there is an exceptional array of weaponry.
I think my plan's changing to just find Garth.
I recommend, I'll pick you up on the way through. Like, I'll just I'll, if I can still use my phone, I'll text you. Like, farm? ?
Please. There you go. We can still do Wiki Review after the zombie apocalypse. The Wikipedia will be way more limited after that.
There might be the sound of a generator in the background the whole time, though. But compared to the other podcasts being made, it's pretty good.
Yeah, we'll own that game.
Yeah, if you can still get on the internet, it's pretty good. If we can still get on the internet, it will be pretty good. Plus tools. I mean, we've got all the weaponry. Plus the, yeah, like hand to hand. We've got guns, we've got bows, got all kinds of axes and like actually tools, tractors, everything we need.
What about from, okay, if you have to, because you got to get to your mum's place, and I know that that's quite a bit of a drive through quite a bit of terrain.
Other side of the city, yes.
So yeah, you'd have to go through the city almost.
Oh, that's like some Mad Max shit right there. That's like Escape from New York.
Do you have anything planned for the journey to there? Once you get there, it's your safe haven. If you get in early when there's only a couple of them walking around, you might get there quite all right.
If a movie was made about my zombie apocalypse, it would be about me getting to the safe haven. Plus, I'm taking all my weapons and stuff with me, but they'd be packed up with all the stuff. Other than some clothes and the weapons, there's nothing else, just me and Ali get in the car. So
that's also, how far can the car get? Because you might get gridlocked abandoned cars. Because that always happens in zombie movies.
I didn't even think of that. Oh, rookie mistake car. No, I was like, oh, I'll make like a bull bar barricade. You know, I'll put some mesh over the windows. But I didn't even even think they might just be completely blocked off and I have to get out of the car. I can't carry all that then.
No, you'd have to leave some stuff behind.
Oh, God.
They can't see this, the people listening, but your face got genuinely concerned now of almost like the apocalypse is happening tomorrow and you haven't thought of this. You're like, shit, I gotta get home and prepare.
I did have that look of like, what, that's due tomorrow? I have an assignment? No, because I thought, doesn't matter what happens in your life, Garth, if the apocalypse breaks out, at least you have that sorted. And you just upheaved that. I'm like, wait, no, it's not sorted. I have nothing planned. I'm fucked.
I reckon my plan, though, it's more just staying inside my place. Because my place is elevated, okay, which is a great advantage. And I've spent time scoping out my stairs going like, I wonder in a zombie apocalypse if I could take these down. And I would probably have to ram the car into them.
It's all concrete, isn't it?
The back ones would probably give way because they got a metal frame that is quite old. So I reckon I can push it. And even if you go down it too much, it might fall apart.
Well, if you've got a sledgehammer, because it's mostly brick, I think. So you can smash it away with brick. But the question is, how are you going to live in here? Where are you going to get your food and water from?
Yeah, because I poorly plan with food. Coke. We're fine with.
You've got a lifetime supply of Coke. But, and yeah,
I'm not going to be deprived of sugar. I can guarantee that. I won't die of a lack of sugar. Getting supplies. I guess it's once I barricaded myself in, I just sit and wait to die.
That's your plan.
This is the plan.
I'm talking about starting a new civilization and bringing people into it. You're like, well, I've locked my door. Your plan was to lock your door.
That's pretty much...
You brought this up, Ben. You know, the kid like, hey, what did you get for number 13? Oh, me too. That's a great idea. Yeah, I got the same answer. You had no plan. You just want to know what mine was. So you're like, all right, now I know what to do.
Well, that's where halfway through your plan, I'm like, oh shit, he actually has a plan. I'm just following Garth because he has a plan.
Well, bring your Coke. You can come along. Because my family, for some reason, only ever buys Pepsi Max. And I don't know why, because I don't want to drink that. It tastes weird. So you bring the Coke, you're in. So when you're there, like with all these, like the zombie apocalypse breaks out and you're like stacking up and arranging your Coke bottles and Shannon's like, what are you doing? This is our ticket. This is how we're going to survive.
I mean, I brought this up with Shannon a few times about what we'd do in a zombie apocalypse, and she stands by that she would be useless.
Which is fair enough. I like the honesty. Like, it's important for people to know when to step back, because it's only going to get worse.
We were literally watching a zombie movie at one point, and she turned to me and gone like, you know, if you left me behind, I wouldn't see that as bad. I would just stay in the home and you could just go try and explore, because I would just get you killed.
I thought you meant like, if you just like, all right, I'm going to leave you to die, and wandered off. She's like, I'm cool with that. You mean like, what she's really saying is, if a zombie apocalypse breaks out, I'm going to stay where it's safe and you go risk your life to bring me back food, please.
It would basically be in the instance if we were in this house and the zombie apocalypse happened, I'm like, all right, we're going to Garth's farm. She would just be like, no, I'm going to stay here. I know some people though, don't want to live through a zombie apocalypse.
Well, yeah, the zombies particularly.
I think it would be kind of fun.
I like the idea of any future where I don't have to go to a job.
Yeah, the idea of reshuffling the deck always sounds like, maybe I'll be on top this time. That wasn't last time.
I'm pretty sure on the hierarchy, zombie is above podcaster. They're way more entertaining.
I think that I would do all right in a zombie apocalypse once I had a chance to get my bearings.
That is a great thing I saw in Walking Dead, is that at first they're like, oh my god, a zombie. But then by season 8, they don't even stop having their conversation to kill zombies. Like, they're worried about other people are dangerous, but the zombies are like, oh yeah, they're killing a zombie. Like, yeah, so what do you want for breakfast?
Because anyone can die in the first 30 seconds of a zombie apocalypse, no matter how skilled you are. If a horde of zombies right now burst through this door and started charging at us,
not much we can do.
Yeah, we're not prepared for that at all.
Yeah, but I've only got you to throw at them.
But if we had seen it on the news beforehand, we would have barricaded, we would have weaponed ourselves. We'd be working on a plan right now,
and that would give us a greater chance. But I think, yeah, as the days go by, if you've been alive for a month, you're pretty much going to see it through, unless you do something stupid.
Yeah, it's like the movie 28 Days Later. Just make it 28 days and you're probably sweet.
But until the sequel 28 Weeks Later comes out, which I haven't seen, but I'm aware exists.
Oh, the sequel's awesome. You got to see the sequel.
Really?
I really saw that, yeah.
No.
It does a weird thing, because you know how the first one is...
Well, didn't it end with, spoiler alert, but you should have seen this by now. Didn't it end with they saw a plane and they're like, oh, it's going to come back and save us?
Yeah, it's not about those characters, though. It's still about the sickness. It has other people, and it's after they've got rid of it pretty much. They're doing some sweeps and taking out the last ones.
Oh, cool.
And then in that little city that's surviving, it breaks back out again. And so it's a weird thing that in the first one, you saw an established disease, but in the sequel, you see it start out, and it's not a prequel.
Yeah, because the guy wakes up and the apocalypse apocalypse has happened, whereas this one, the apocalypse is dying down and then it starts again. Oh, that's clever. I'm gonna have to watch that.
Yeah, it's really cool, and it does do a good job at expanding on the first one.
And meanwhile, I like to point out the irony that I just ruined the end of the first one by saying spoilers, but you should have seen it. Yet I've heard nothing about the second.
Yeah, I'm being very polite right now to you.
You're being really good about it. I'm like, well, I haven't heard any spoilers, and I really should have seen it by now. Like, that's my fault if someone spoiled it.
All right, so what did you think of the zombie Wikipedia page?
I'd have to give it a hazed out of a possible Indian. The Indian kind, not the Native American kind.
Yeah, now explain why without being racist.
All right, because I thought this was going to be like, you know, zombie movies. I forgot about the origins of zombies. I forgot about the Haitians. I didn't know about the video game. That was a lot of video games. We didn't say all of them because we were just saying the ones that piqued our interest. Like, if you think about it, of course there are a lot of zombie video games.
Yeah, they're a fun enemy to take out in video games. And who hasn't fantasized about shooting a bunch of zombies?
Because that's the closest you can get to shooting a crowd of slowly moving people without getting in trouble for thinking about it. It's okay, they're zombies. I'm pretty sure that was zombies.
Like, after doing this episode, I actually want to play that Dead Rising game we were talking about. Because I actually have that. I got it out.
I'm going to go home and play it.
I know. That's our night.
Yes, that's what we're doing. Yeah, so Haitian, because that's what, you know, it's all encompassing. I should have known what was on the page. I didn't think about what was on the page. But yeah, just like a Haitian. And out of a possible Indian, because it's not what we thought it was going to be, but it's right there. When you say Indian, you think Native American, but I'm talking about an Indian. And when you say Indian, you should really think about Indians, because you're not racist, right? And that's what I scored this. I had a lot of fun, even though we barely looked at the page. But why is that any different to usual? What did you think, Ben?
I'll get my rating out of 78, because in 1978, George Romero made Dawn of the Dead, which is something that really popularized the zombie film. You did have before that Night of the Living Dead, but Dawn of the Dead, I think, is a classic zombie tale. It's where it started with them in the shopping center, and that's where that whole...
Oh, so the one I saw was a remake of that, essentially.
And there's been a lot of remakes of that idea of people in a shopping center, and this was the first time it was done in 1978.
Plus, it really shaped what a zombie is, by definition of society.
Because if I had to do a zombie movie, I would probably want to do one where it was set with us in a shopping center.
Yeah.
Taking on zombies. It seems like a great set.
Now that I've thought about the farm, that's a lot of fences I'd have to make.
It is a lot.
It's a big wide open space, but there is a water tower in the middle, and there's no way zombies can get up it. It's a ladder.
Do you think, like, hiding in your water tower is better than hiding in my house?
Yeah, there's water.
There's water here.
And I'll have a gun. Plus, I'm at a height. I can drop things on them. I can fight my way back down. This is kind of like a prison.
So out of 78, I would probably give this... I'll give it an even 70. That's like the sound you do after every rating I give.
We'll do a less impressive one and I'll stop doing it. Like, that's a high score. The whistle comes out every time you give a score that's better than what I've ever gotten a test.
So if I give it a single mark, you'd be like, wow. But yeah, I did really like this page. It was fun going through all the zombie video games and stuff like that. And even talking about the movies, this whole episode for me was like, ooh, do you remember this? And do you remember that? I love remembering stuff. Remembering stuff is fun. And I hope you people listening remembered a bunch of the stuff that we talked about. Yeah.
Feel free to let us know what your favorite zombie film is, video game. If there's something that we teetered around and you're like screaming at your radio or whatever you listen to this on, let us know, because I'd like to know these things.
Yeah, let us know if you're mad that we didn't talk about I Am Legend.
Technically not zombies, no, but they're zombies.
I don't count those ones as zombies. As soon as they started like climbing up the walls, I'm like, I think they're vampires.
Yeah, because they get hurt by the sun too, don't they?
Yeah, they're vampires.
But they're like vampire zombies. Like, they weren't vampires, but they weren't zombies. I think it's just someone went, you know, it'd be clever if we crossed them together.
Zombies are popular, vampires are popular, vampire zombies.
Walking Twilight.
Yeah, and Michael Jackson's Thriller. I'm just looking down here and seeing if anything else pops out. I don't think there are any major ones that we left out. There's probably a few obscure ones, or ones that we just don't know about.
People who are really into zombies, probably really mad at you saying that, but we don't know.
Oh, we didn't talk about World War Z, and I love World War Z.
That was a good one, wasn't it?
The book was, I didn't like the movie, because I liked the book.
The book was cool because it's completely different. That was just a bunch of short stories, and like, it was essentially a survival guide, wasn't it?
Yeah, because you had the zombie survival guide that he wrote, and he wrote one that was just a bunch of interviews with people who had survived a zombie apocalypse. Good book.
Yeah, but Brad Pitt wasn't in it, so...
No.
Misleading, I think.
When I found out they were making a movie version of it, there was a scene about the Battle of Yonkers. Wanted to see that. Yonkers is a place in America, I think in Cleveland.
Okay, and this is like where they fought a bunch of zombies.
They fought a bunch of zombies and it all goes apeshit, and that would have been been an awesome scene to see, and they robbed me of that, so I hate Brad Pitt. Anyway, apart from that, I guess we just got Facebook to plug, the Humidor Facebook.
Find us on Facebook.
We got Twitter, we got Instagram, we have...
Find us on Twitter and Instagram.
We got the YouTube channel.
Find us on YouTube.
And you can find all of that at humidor.com.au.
Find us at humidor.com.au.
And there you can like and subscribe and everything to everything we do. All right, I've been Ben Grawl.
I've been Gareth Remington.
And we'll catch you on the next Wiki Review.
Find Humidor on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and at humidor.com.au. Theme is I Live for the Bass Drum by DJ Searle. All other music by Matt Graw.